Not only is there this anarchy in the world, not only is there this apostasy in the church, but there's such apathy in the pew. What are people doing? Who gets excited? People just roll over and yawn in the face of God and go back to sleep. Now, I say all of that to agree with the Apostle Paul in these verses. It is high time to awake out of our sleep. That's what I'm trying to say. Verse 11 says it's high time. That means the hour is here. Verse 12 says the night is far spent. That means it's later than you think.
Profound truth simply stated. This is Love Worth Finding with pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers.
Would you take God's word and be finding Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 11. But let me tell you what happened a long time ago in the birth of our nation. The day was April the 18th, the year 1775, and the British had brought their troops into old Boston. And the plan was at nighttime, when everyone was asleep, to take small boats, go across the Charles River, and attack Concord and Lexington. Everyone was asleep. The British had their plans, but there was a man who was not asleep, and his name was Paul Revere. He was awake. He knew what was happening. And Paul Revere, in his famous ride, you remember the story, he got on his horse, and he began to gallop from village to village, from house to house, and he began to cry, "Wake up! Wake up! The British are coming! The British are coming!" And he sounded the alarm, and he knocked on doors, and cried in the streets, and galloped from place to place, telling everybody, "Wake up! The British are coming." I want to tell you, there's another war. An invisible war. And somebody today needs to be a modern Paul Revere and tell us to wake up. To wake up. The enemy is upon us. The enemy is coming, and we need to sound the alarm. And the sad thing is this, that the church is asleep, snuggled up in her pews with the covers pulled up over her head, and the sanctuary is dark, and the church needs to wake up before it's too late. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here, beginning in verse 11. Look, "And knowing that, and that knowing the time," watch it, "it is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe." Listen to this now. "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." The title of our message today, the wake-up call. What time is it on God's clock? Well, number one, it's time to wake up, and number two, it's probably later than most of us think. And this is a wake-up call that Paul gave to these saints so long ago, and I believe that he wants to give it to us today, because the alarm has sounded. The late, great Vance Havner said, "In today's world, there is anarchy in the world, apostasy in the church, and apathy in the pew." Apathy in the pew. We are asleep and we need to wake up. I was given a folder or a article that came out of a skateboard magazine. You know, boys and girls love to ride skateboards. And so much that there is a magazine. That magazine is called Thrasher. This is the September 1997 edition. It's a little comic strip. And it has a little smiley-faced devil and another little imp there with horns on his head and a little forked tail. And here's what the comic strip says. Here's the smiley-faced devil. And he says, "Hi, kiddies. It's me, devil man, along with my trusty sycophant, Flame Boy. Now, Flame Boy is the little demon that's there. I want to make you a little offer. This is what devil man is saying to the kids. Now, listen to it. Imagine your boy, your girl, getting this. I want to make you a little offer. Here's the deal. I want your soul. And then little Flame Boy answers in the comic. He says, but boss, won't they need their souls if they're going to go to heaven? That's where I want to go when I die. Then Devil Man answers, first of all, Flame Boy, you are already dead. That's why you are in hell. And second of all, heaven is not all it's cracked up to be. I should know. I used to live there. You used to live in heaven, boss? I didn't know you used to live there. Oh, you see, when I lived there, I tried to make heaven a fun place, but that just got me and my friends kicked out. Note how bad we are. And in this picture, there's Devil Man surrounded by half-nude demon spirit personified as women, and he's got a bottle of booze in his hand. And then he says, Devil Man says, after God told me to go to hell, things in heaven were never quite the same. Flame Boy says, what happened? Well, first of all, they set up a bunch of dumb rules. And then they imposed a really strict dress code. I'll wager the people must be quite bored up there, but hey, that's what they get for being good. And then there's some more vile talk that I'll skip. And finally, here's what Devil Man says to Flame Boy. Flame Boy, a dim wit like you can see that hell is by far the best place to retire. Just look at the fun to be had. And remember, in hell, there is only one rule, and that is there are no rules. So kids, now here's the way this thing ends. So kids, to ensure your permanent place in hell, send me your soul now. And at the end of this thing, now this is for boys and girls to read. I mean, it's for kids who pick up their skateboard magazine. And at the end is a contract. And here's the contract. I, the undersigned, do hereby give possession of my soul to the devil for eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And then there's a place for the signature. And then it ends with a smiling devil saying, I'll be seeing you. That's for kiddies to pick up in America today. What I want to tell you folks is the alarm has sounded in America. People just roll over and yawn in the face of God and go back to sleep. Now I say all of that to agree with the Apostle Paul in these verses. It is high time to awake out of our sleep. That's what I'm trying to say. Verse 11 says it's high time. That means the hour is here. Verse 12 says the night is far spent. That means it's later than you think. I want to tell you, it's later in this age than you may think. It is later in this age than you may think. I believe that Jesus Christ is at the threshold, and I believe the trumpet is about to sound, and Jesus Christ is going to come soon, and it is only the restraining hand of Almighty God and the Holy Spirit that keeps the floodgates of evil closed as much as they are. I'll tell you something else. It may be later in your life than you think. You only have so many more days, so many hours yet to serve the Lord Jesus. James 4 verse 14 says, what is your life but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away? I'll tell you something else. It's later in the day of opportunity than you may think. We have opportunities now that are unparalleled to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus, when he was here on earth, said in John chapter 9 verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For night cometh when no man can work. Now, a lot of things you can do, but I'm going to tell you one thing you cannot do when you get to heaven, and that is you cannot win souls in heaven. All the soul winning that you're ever going to do, you're going to do while you are here on this earth. And it may be later in that day of opportunity than you realize. Having said all of this, and all of this is the front porch to get us in the house. So we have a small house and a big porch. But now listen, there are three things. I pray God the Holy Spirit will write upon your heart. That the Apostle Paul told the church at Rome, and he wants to tell the church in Memphis, and all of those of you who are listening, wherever you may be listening, through television or through radio or through tape, listen, there are three things you need to do. It is time, number one, to wake up. Look again in verse 11, if you will. And knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of your sleep. Or to awake out of sleep. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, wake up. And say, wake up. Listen, it is time to wake up. You know what's wrong in America today? Too many sermons are like bedtime stories rather than reveilles. And God's alarm clock is going off all around us. Now, Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. But the apostle Paul said, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. How can we be so sit so comfortably in the pew when civilization is crumbling around us? One man wanted to impress his pastor. He said, pastor, would you give me a little prayer that I can pray when I enter church? The pastor knew his ways and said, yes, I have a nice prayer for you. Now I lay me down to sleep. It's time that we wake up. And we don't need to just roll over and yawn in the face of God. The night is far past. So many of our churches are like Samson, asleep in the lap of Delilah. And then when we do wake up finally, we don't know that the Spirit has departed from us, and we go out to shake ourselves with no power. How do you wake up? Not by feeling like it, but just getting up anyway. If I'd waited till I felt like it, I still may be in bed. You don't push the snooze button. You wake up and get up. Now, first thing, it's time to wake up. Got it? All right, here's the second thing. It is time not only to wake up, but it is time to clean up. Look, if you will, also in this verse now. Watch it in verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Now the picture here is somebody who's been out on the town all night long, chambering and wantonness, strife, envy, drunkenness, reveling. And he comes in with his filthy, dirty clothes, reeking with the spots and stains of sin. He doesn't even undress. He just falls into a drunken stupor, into a sleep. And Paul says, wake up and clean up. Now, he mentions six things that we need to put off before we are ready to meet the day. And these six things he puts in couplets. So you have three couplets, six things. First of all, notice these works of darkness. In verse 13, he calls, first of all, he says, you put off rioting and drunkenness. Put that off. Get rid of that. Now, the word rioting means carousing. We know what the word drunkenness means. But carousing and drunkenness, that's what keeps the taverns in business. That's what keeps the nightclubs in business. That's what keeps these casinos in business. And God says, put that off. You have no business in these places. If you're a child of God and you are frequenting these places, God sent me here to tell you to stop. Quit. Put it off. And then God says, chambering and wantonness. Those are two words from the King James that we don't use in our modern English very much, but chambering means sexual immorality. Wantonness means without shame or shamelessness. Think of sexual immorality today. If you're a child of God and a member of this church and you're living in sexual immorality, you need to do one of two things. You need to get right or get out. Get right or get out. God says, put these things off. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4 says, marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. Today, we have so many people who are living together without the benefit of marriage. They don't get married, they just live together. And today, that is an accepted thing. Well, I want to tell you, it is not acceptable in the Word of God. The Bible calls that fornication, and the Bible says flee fornication. The Bible absolutely forbids that. You say, well, we're in love. Well, then get married. And if you're not in love, get out. You say, but what about what the movie stars do? What about what the rock stars do? What about what the sports stars are doing? Friend, you better begin to order your life by the Word of God. Not in sexual immorality and not in shamelessness. I'm amazed today that there is no sense of shame. We have a generation today of unblushables, people who are going to be amazed at what I said, that I literally said. They said, what? You mean you're telling me that we're not supposed to live together? That's right. Oh. I mean, it's like, why we do that? We're not ashamed of that. Put these verses down. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Somebody said that man is the only animal that can blush, and he's the only one that needs to. We have sin today that's arrogant and proud, no shame. I was reading in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9. Listen to it. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. That is, they're literally proud of it. Proud of it. Chambering and wantonness, sexual immorality and shamelessness. He says, put it away. And then strife and envy. Strife means the desire for power. Envy is wanting more and wanting what somebody else has. And if your heart is headquarters for hate, and if you're full of envy, jealousy, and unsatisfied desires, these things are the works of darkness. And God says, put them off. You say, well, Pastor Rogers, I don't think I can. Yes, you can. I received a letter. It says, I was raised in a Christian home. My faith waned. I became agnostic and began studying other religions. Over the years, I became bitter. I subscribed to evolution, atheism, and eventually Satanism. It was during this dark time that I found Love Worth Finding on the radio. I listened with a full intent of mocking the message, often ridiculing it to those around me. But for some reason, no matter how much my hate raged, I still listened. The more I heard, the more I resisted, but I couldn't stop listening. One day, my cynicism burst like a dam. In the middle of Adrian Rogers' message, I left work, bought a Bible, and began reading. Glory be to God, the Lord Jesus, and His grace. No matter how much I resisted, He wouldn't let me go. And like the prodigal son returning, Jesus welcomed me back with open arms. I admitted all my sins, and they were aplenty, begged His forgiveness, and proclaimed my love for Him. What strength He has to forgive such a stubborn and direct sinner. Praise His name. And then this man says, if any such an enemy of Christianity can turn and be saved, truly anyone can. There just isn't enough room here to testify to the full glory of His grace, but it is good to be home. Thank you for your assistance, Pastor Rogers. Now, I say that not to pat myself on the back, but to give honor and glory and praise to this Word of God that can change a heart, can change a life. And what God is saying, number one, is wake up. What He's saying, number two, is clean up. What He's saying, number three, is dress up. Look, if you will, now in verse 12 of this same chapter, the last part of it. He says, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And then go down to verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That means that this is the heart of the whole thing. This is the climax of the whole thing. What good is it to wake up and even clean up if you don't dress up? You don't want to be a spiritual nudist. So you're to dress up. And what are you to dress in? You're to dress up in Jesus. And notice He uses the full title for Jesus. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord means Master. What do I do when I start out now after having waked up and cleaned up? What do? I put on Jesus Christ as Lord. That is, He is my Master. I'm His slave. What does the Master tell the slave what to do? He tells the slave what to do. He tells the slave what to say. He tells the slave where to go and when to come. Is Jesus Christ your Master? He is if you put Him on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus means Savior. The name Jesus actually means Jehovah saves. So not only do you put on the Lord Jesus as Master for direction, but you put on the Lord Jesus as Savior for deliverance.
I mean, it's a vile world out there. And as you go out, you're going to have to be clothed, and you're going to have somebody who can deliver you and dress you in the robes of righteousness and protect you and to cleanse you and to keep you clean. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ where you're dressed in His righteousness alone, because not only is He Lord, He is Jesus, He is Savior. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, and the word Christ means Messiah, King. And so I have Jesus. I have Jesus for direction. I have Jesus for deliverance. I have Jesus for dominion. He is the one who rules over me and teaches me how to rule in this life, because He is the Messiah. He is the King. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. I'm to wear Jesus like a suit of armor, armor of light. And as I go out into this world, as you go out, you're to have Jesus on. Put Jesus over your sorrows and around your tears. Put on Jesus. Over your aches and your pains, put on Jesus. Over your failure and your shame, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Sunday school teacher asked a little girl, "Is there anything God can't do?" She said, "Yes, there's one thing God can't do. He can't see my sins through the blood of Jesus Christ." Thank God for that. Listen, friend, Jesus Christ is behind us. Jesus Christ is ahead of us. Jesus Christ is within us. And we're all dressed up in Jesus Christ. And I thank God for that. And then He says, last of all, make no provision for the flesh. That is, those old clothes that you cast off, don't keep them. Get rid of them. Make no provision for the flesh. King alcohol has had you. Give your heart to King Jesus. And let me tell you what to do with King alcohol. Don't keep that fifth of whiskey up there in the cabinet. You're making provision for the flesh. It'll clean the hair right out of the sink. Pour it down the drain. Trying to quit smoking? Well, don't keep that carton in case you go back. Tear it in little pieces and flush it. Make no provision for the flesh. You've been having an illicit relationship? Well, quit. And I don't mean quit gradually. I mean quit, and so far as that woman is concerned, or so far as that man is concerned, just make a big distance and saturate that place with your absence and get out of there and get away from there and make no provision for the flesh, because if you do, you're going down. You put on Jesus Christ. Put Him on. Put Him on for direction, because He's Lord. Put Him on for deliverance, because He's Savior. Put Him on for dominion, because He is King, He is Messiah. Wear the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, I want to tell you, the hour is late. And don't you pull the cover over your head this morning and push the snooze button. God sent me here to tell you to wake up. The hour's late. The night is far spent. What we're going to do for Jesus, we better do. We better get at it right now. Life is too short. Eternity is too long. Souls are too precious. The gospel is too wonderful for us to sleep through it all. And soon He's coming. And when He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Bow your heads in prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Now, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you're not saved, you can be saved right now, this moment. He's knocking at your heart's door, and He says, if any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him. Would you just open the door by faith right now? Would you pray like this, Lord Jesus, I know you're knocking on my heart's door. I open the door. I receive you now into my life as my Lord and my Savior. My sin deserves judgment, but I need mercy. Forgive my sin. Cleanse me. Cleanse me, save me, Jesus. Forgive me, save me.
come into my life now and begin to make me the person you want me to be. And Lord Jesus, help me never to be ashamed of you. In your name I pray. Amen.